Bibles tonight to Psalms 119. That probably is not a surprise to any of you, at least those that have been here for the last few weeks for going and going to go through Psalms 119. They are set apart in eight different verses in each different section. So we're going to look at every section, more than likely eight verses at a time. And I think there's about 22 of those. So we'll be doing this for a good little time and looking forward to how God's going to work through this. I know God's already encouraged my heart a lot through it and given me a new appreciation for the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but David here in this Psalms, and I encourage you the first week to take a verse a day. And I know there's eight verses inside of them, and I know there's 7 days in a week, so one of the days you'll have to get two. But take a verse a day with you and be thinking about it, whether you want to think about the ones I just preached on or looking forward to what next week's going to be like. And there's a lot of great Bible scholars that said they've done that in years past. Even I mentioned last week, Matthew Henry was, as a child, his dad made him go through it each and every year, go through the book of Psalms chapter 119, just taking a verse a day, and it gives a great appreciation for the Word of God. Here in this psalm, David is saying, I want to get it right. I want to hear what God's Word says. I don't want it to be about what I think it says. I want you to teach me. And as many times people take the Word of God and they apply it and they try to make it fit what they want. And it's amazing the different things that factor into what some people look through the lens of the Bible. Sometimes it's people's worldview. There's people that can look at the Bible and say they're Bible believers, but they believe in things such as evolution, abortion, homosexuality, and it's wrong because they have the wrong worldview. They have what they want to feel and what they want to believe, and then they want to take the scriptures and make it say what they want them to say. That's not what David's saying here at all. David is saying, I need you to teach me your word. I need you to teach me your statutes. I need you to teach me your commandments. It's not about what I want to get them to say for me. He says, I'm a stranger in this land. I need a guide. I need a companion. I've committed myself to you. I've given myself to you. I've sought after you with my whole heart. As we learned in verses 1 through 16, I've delighted in your words. Now, teach me them. And you see probably the most famous verses in this section is in verse number 18. And I think it's our verse for the week from the bulletin. It says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. And the great thing about that means that there's wondrous things in this book, and we need God's help to see them. And so that's what David is saying here. He's passionate about the Word of God. And I think like we did last week, we're going to take it verse by verse and just kind of give you an overview, hopefully whet your appetite a little bit to get to the next section, and also to whet your appetite about a person who is described by the Bible, a man after God's own heart, how he views the scriptures. And you see a passion there that's lacking in so many of our lives. Let's look here and we'll read verses 17 through 24, and then we'll go and start off all the way down. Verse 17, the Bible says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live, and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me, reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Let's have a word of prayer once again. Lord, we're coming to you once again tonight, and Lord, the specific request is that you will give us even a greater desire to want to know your word, to understand your word, to seek after it with our whole heart. Lord, open our eyes. Help us not to just see through the lens of what we think it should. Lord, help us to have a biblical worldview, a worldview saying that this is God's book, and I want to know what it says, and I want to apply it to my life because he knows what's best. Lord, help give us a hunger and a thirst for your word and for righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. So you come to verse 17, it says, deal bountifully. And so, but he continues on, with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. First thing I think about that, when I see that verse, I'm thinking he says, thy servant. He is not saying, okay, I'm king. I'm the guy that beat Goliath. I'm the guy that did this and this. He says, I want you to deal bountifully with thy servant. He's not saying I deserve anything. He's not saying I am basing my requests off of my position, off of my rights. He's saying, as your servant, that's how you want to look at me. He's not saying the things I deserve, the reward that I owed. He says, by your grace and by your mercy, I don't really deserve anything. But based off of who you are, I want you to deal bountifully with me. And I think it's kind of interesting because many times we want to say, hey, God, you got to do this for me. You got to do that for me. But he's basing it off the off of God's goodness. He's basing it off of God's mercy. Remember earlier in chapter in verses 1 through 3, he saw how they were blessed and how that God had given them power. And David seen many times in his life how God had used a person who loves the Lord and how they were happy. And he's seen that and he wants that. And he says, look, I want you to deal bountifully. I don't want you to base it off of who I am or what I've done, but I'm just a servant of yours. And then it continues on. It says, deal bountifully with thy servant. And then he goes, that I may live. He understands a truth that is so powerful, and so many times we miss it. In this world today, they're teaching us all the things we deserve. We're so entitled that we deserve to get all this unemployment, all this rent help, and all this food, and healthcare should be for everyone, and you're entitled to everything. They're teaching that to this generation. You don't got to listen to your parents. You have your rights. You have all those things. And I understand there are logic behind that, but there's a lot of flawed thinking in many of that things. But you see here in the scripture, he says, that I may live. What he's saying here is that he understands that the only reason why he was even in this world was because of God. So like your parents maybe used to tell you, I brought you in this world. I can take you out of this world. God really can do that. And God's not going to get in trouble with it. The only reason why we have breath in this life, the only reason why we were even created, the only reason why there's an earth is because God. And David is saying, I want you to deal bountifully with me as thy servant that I may live. One of the first things I realize is gracious and merciful to me is that you gave me another day to live. And if we get up the next day, get up tomorrow and say, God, you gave me another day. Man, that is merciful. That's gracious. What can I do for you? We don't always do that. Many times we miss that. But then it keeps on going. Lots of times people say, let me live so I can become big. Let me live so I can have some pleasure. Let me live so I can enjoy this or that. But that's not what he says here. He says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. And then he says, and keep thy word. He has such a love and a passion for the word of God. He's saying, I want to live, and I want to live for this main reason, this main purpose, is so I can obey your word. Who thinks like that? The man after God's own heart. The man who has passionately and has just taken it in, and he's saying, what I get great joy out and great delight of is your word and what it's done for me and how it brings glory to your name. So if you will just deal bountifully with your servant and you will allow me to live, then I'm going to keep your word. But many times we forget that we're his servants. We forget that the reason why we're here is because God's allowing us to be here. The reason why we're in America is because God allowed us to be here. The reason why we have all the things that we have is because, you know, that I may live so I can do this. He says, no, that I may live so I can just keep on listening to you, whatever it is you want me to do. And it's just a beautiful verse. And then it comes in the next one. He says, open thou mine eyes, I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. He's saying, God, I need you to do something for me. I need you to open my eyes. David obviously wasn't blind. And once again, I'll probably say this week after week, no one knows for sure that it was David. I have some reasons why I think it was. We've gone over those things. So when I use the word David, if you want to think somebody else wrote it, that's fine. But I'm just going to say David because that's what I'm used to doing. And he's saying, I need you to open my eyes. Now, why would a person who was who was able to see, be asking God to open his eyes. And there's a couple thoughts here. Because the things that are found in his word are things that only the author can reveal. You think about it. Sometimes you can write certain things down and give it to somebody, and you mean one thing, and they take it a completely different way. I'm a guy who doesn't like a lot of confrontation. I know some people probably think, Pastor, you do. You yell at me all the time. That's just not my style. Some people enjoy that. Some people thrive on that. Some people think that's just not me. But when you send a text to somebody, it can be read three different ways and get three different meanings out of it. I like talking to people face to face. And the reason why is because you can see their face, you can see their expression, you can see what they're trying to say. And sometimes what gets me in trouble is I try to make a joke. And most people know I'm not funny. And they know, and I have to go back and have to say, you know what, I was just kidding. And many times a person says, I didn't realize that. You had such a straight face. I thought you were being serious. So I learned not to joke with certain people just because they don't get my sense of humor. And actually, I like to joke and kid around some. But at the same time, and that's what they're saying, David's saying, I don't want to miss your word. I don't want the guy, and once again, there's wonderful counselors, preachers, pastors, teachers. There are people we learn from, but he says, I want you to open my eyes that I can see the wondrous things out of thy law. And he's saying that I want you to reveal them unto me. So, I mean, we could spend the whole night on this verse, but just a couple of things I want you to think about. First thing is there is wondrous things in God's Bible. There are some amazing things in here. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes when I sit back and I listen to someone preach and they get at it and they bring things out that I've never heard before. And man, that was good. That does apply. That's wonderful. I hear Brother McBride sometimes when he preaches. Brian McBride is becoming evangelist. I remember sitting there and it's just you listen. And you listen to a guy who's a student of the Word of God. And he's somebody that I enjoy. And there's been many a times I've been sitting there and I'm listening. And he goes and he brings something out I've never heard before. I'm thinking, how'd I miss that? I've read that passage of Scripture hundreds of times. I preached that message. Not that specific message, but that topic. And it's because of the fact there are some wonderful and great things in there. We need God to open those eyes up. And I'm not talking about a surface. I'm not talking about scratching the surface. I'm not talking about what we can get out of it on our own. I'm saying the person that first you have to be a Christian to be able to be spiritually able, and the Holy Spirit will teach you those things. But as you continue to dig deeper and deeper, it's sort of like what he's saying in verse 17. He says, deal bountifully with me. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Open your eyes. Show me the wondrous things. There is great things in this book. There is wonderful things in here. And he's saying, I need them. Show them to me. Help pull back the scales of this world. Help pull back the scales of my counselors. Help pull back the scales of my family. Help pull back those things. I sometimes read the Bible through those lenses. And he says, Lord, I just want you to open up my eyes. I want you as the author of this book to show me the things that you want it to say or intended for it to say. I don't need to have other people kind of muddy it down. I want you to open mine eyes so I can see the wondrous things out of thy law. And yes, he calls preachers to preach and he calls teachers to teach. I understand that. But David is saying here, I want you to deal bountifully and I want to see these things and I want you to see these things for myself. I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I begin my Bible study, and sometimes when I get to a hard passage of Scripture and I'm trying to get through, I say this prayer. It is a prayer that's on my heart often because I want to know the wondrous things. Sometimes you get to a verse and you sit there and you look at it. There's something there. There's something you want to read. There's more to it than what I know and what I'm understanding. And I'm getting out the dictionary and I'm getting out the concordance. And I'm trying to learn and grasp. But the most important thing is for me to say, open thou mine eyes. Give me what you want that word to say. And if we would look into his word by saying, God, give me the wondrous things. God, show me what it is you want. I am not biased. I am open to what your word says. Now teach me what you want me to learn. I think the part of the bountiful dealing he was talking about was David knew there's wondrous things in here. He had already been impressed with many things. God has already used him in so many things. And he didn't want to trust the logic of something so great to someone else. He's saying, God, as the author, I want you to open my eyes. I want you to reveal this truth to me. And I think, like I said before, people have different lenses the way they look at the Bible. They can pull certain things out and say, well, God's the God of hate because the Israelites killed all these people, and God's this, and God's that, and God's all those things. And they don't care what the Bible says or what the author, who is God, wanted to be brought across in the messages that are found in there. They want to see it for themselves. And if we would, as a people, say, God, show me what you want. Open my eyes. And so I think the key here is when we're Bible reading and prayer time, I know that sometimes people use them as separate times, and I think that's good, but anytime you're reading the Bible, it should be a constant communication with God. You should be talking to him, and Lord, reveal this to me. Show me what this is trying to say. Remind me of these things. And it's a conversation you're having with God, and you see that it's still a testimony that sometimes in these sections of eight verses, it's like a poetic type thing. You see in verse number 2, it talks about seeking him with the whole heart. And then in verse number 10, once again, it's the whole heart. And in verse number 8, he's saying, God, I'm open to whatever you have for me. I'm willing to let you pull back those scales, and Lord, and I'm praying through my Bible reading, God, show me those things. You see, in verse number 19, you see, he says, I'm a stranger. Let me make sure I get it exactly right. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. And that's, I don't know about you, but the times that we're living in today, as the world gets stranger and stranger, I'm definitely a stranger here. I don't belong here. Christian people who want to live godly do not belong with where we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. We are not going to fit in. And that's what David's saying. I'm a stranger in this earth. And the next step is he says, I'm a stranger in this earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. He's saying, okay, God, I'm here. You placed me here. Everything around here seems different to me. People don't love your word the way they do. People don't love the statutes the way you do. The things that I'm striving for, the things I'm looking for, it is unusual, it's different, and it's not something that most people want. I look around me, and everything around me seems like they're a stranger. I would think that sometimes, I heard an illustration one time, they took somebody that had never been out of the jungles of Africa, and you brought them all the way to New York City, left them right there, and then left them all by himself. Didn't speak the language. I mean, he would be a stranger. He didn't know what was going on. Someone that maybe was in a remote area that maybe knew there only a small portion of people, and they're a stranger in there. They need somebody to lead them. They need someone who's going to guide them. They need someone who's going to tell them the language and provide for them. And I think that's what David is saying here. He says, I am a stranger in the earth. He says, I am someone who, when I look around, what's happening in this world is not things that I'm used to, not things that I'm searching for, what everybody else is looking for, what everybody else wants. It's not what I'm in for. I'm in for the fact that I want you to deal bountifully. I want you to teach me your word. I want you to give me direction. He says, so I'm a stranger in this earth. And sometimes if we would read the Bible like that thought, I'm a stranger in this world and I'm not going to make it unless I get some directions. Boy, we would be diving into the Word of God a little bit greater. If I'm driving or if I'm going somewhere and I know I got a turn coming up, and sometimes nowadays you use, most people, I do, I use my phone as my GPS. Maybe some of you don't. Maybe some of you still use the little block thing. That's fine. But sometimes when I know I'm supposed to be making their turn and the GPS goes off or something else, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing whatever I can to figure it out. If I'm with my wife and she's driving and I'm driving, it's like, where am I supposed to turn? And she's saying the same thing. Of course, she says a lot sweeter than I do. Well, maybe not. But we're there and we're not getting agitated, but we're getting excited. At that moment in time, we know that if we miss our turn, we're going to get stuck on the highway and then we're going to have to go up another way and turn around and come back and waste our time that normally we don't have that much time wherever we're doing. And for those moments, we're saying, let's look at the phone. Let's look at the GPS. Let's figure out where we're going because we don't want to make the wrong turn. I need to know this information. I need to know it now. And we're doing everything we can to get all our resources to find the answer. I think that's what David's saying. I'm a stranger. And this is what I have to help lead me. A stranger is a one who needs a guide, one who needs a guard, one who needs a companion, one who needs help. And that's what he's saying here. He says, I'm a stranger in the earth, and I think that's the way the world is going to be. If we would seek his word like a stranger that has no clue where they're going or what they're doing, if we're looking for those directions, we would seek it a lot closer than what we do now. But the difference is we think we got a handle on things. And since we got a handle on things, we're okay. We don't have to compare to his words. We don't have to say things like, open down mine eyes. We don't have to beg God like David is here saying, I'm a stranger in this earth. Things don't make sense to me. I really need you to show me. Don't hide. And I think that's what he's saying. Do not hide thy commandments from thee. Don't hide what you want me to do. Enlighten them. I think sometimes when we get to certain portions of Scripture or certain topics of Scripture, like forgiveness, like loving other people, about how we're supposed to be holy, there are certain topics people don't want, about being a soul winner, how to pray, meditating on the Scriptures. If we said, God, I really, this is foreign to me. I want to know what you have to say. And we dove into his word, we would find that we fall short. At least some of us fall short because we're not saying to God, hey, I need your help. And that's what David's saying. Well, David was, he must have been an idiot then, right? Because he's a stranger in that earth. I mean, David must not have known anything if he's dependent so much on God. But we all know that's not true. And David, if you read the story, seemed like he has it more figured out than a lot of people do. And as the Lord's leading and directing him. So we see David here, king, conqueror, general, faithful with his dad's sheep, with the bear, the lion, getting up early in the morning, making sure they're taken care of. All the different characteristics of David, he knew what was going on. But David's there, and I think as a younger guy is sitting there saying, this world is weird. This world is going a different way than what I see is important. Don't hide your commandments. Show me what you want me to do. But when God shows us sometimes, we choose not to. Look what it says in verse number 20. He takes it a step farther. He says he's a stranger. He admits he doesn't know everything. He admits he needs that counselor. He needs that guide. He needs that protection. And he says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. It's something that's in his heart. His heart is... his soul is melting. He needs it. He's pleading with God earnestly for knowledge and for grace. You know how much we plead, what we plead for God for? Many times we plead for our needs, which he tells us to cast his cares upon him. But we have written here by man after God's own heart, and he's pleading, my heart, my soul, it's breaking because I want to follow your judgments. I want to obey your word. I want it to be something that happens all the time. And that's what it talks about in Matthew. It says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I know some people say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. I'm reading the same words. I agree with you. That's what it says. But who thinks like that? Who acts like that? And the Bible says if you seek after righteousness like that, if it becomes your desire, it becomes what you're longing for, he says you're going to be filled. You're going to be satisfied. And then look at that last phrase, at all times. He's not just picking and choosing. And boy, we're so good at that. I'm good at that. I want to pick and choose when I have my hobby horse and what I want, and I want God's commandments, and there's something I need to teach somebody, and I'm like, here, this is what you're supposed to do. It says it right here, and blah, 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 and make a big deal out of it. But then when it comes to my own self, I'm looking at things about things that maybe I struggle with. It's not like, it's right there. Don't you see it? It's like, oh, yeah, I get it. It's at all times. It's such a desire of his. It becomes his goal. He's saying that my heart, I know they use the word soul there, it breaketh for the longing that hath unto thy judgments. I want to know him so bad. And I don't want to just know about how Saul is mistreating me so I can tell Saul what he should do. It's not about Ahithophel turning his back on me. It's not about what Absalom did. It's not about my relationship with Jonathan. It's not about my relationship with Elkanah. With his older brother, Eliab. It's not any of those things. He says, I want this to apply to every area of my life. And for us, it's our finances, it's our families, it's our relationships, it's our church membership. If it's with his word, he says, my soul's longing. I'm desiring this. This is something, and it's at all times. Many times we are not what we should be, so we are not what we ought to be. Many times we are not what we should be, so we are not what we ought to be. What do you mean? Many times we are not seeking God's word like we should be, so we're not turning out to be what we should. If we were seeking it, searching for it, longing for it, it would make a difference. So because of that, we have many times immature Christians out there that are not seeking God because of the fact they haven't taken time in his word. Look what it says in verse 28. Once again, it's the eight verses later. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. You can see some type of little, the poeticness, the balances that are found many times where the verses kind of overlap with one another as they're in the different rhymes or the different choruses there, whatever you call it. But it's amazing there. He has this great desire. Look what it says in verse 21. He says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. So he's going and he's saying, my heart's longing for this. I want this at all times. And he says, I've seen what you've done with those that are prideful. I've seen how you rebuke them. I see how they have not received your blessing, how they act, what they look like, all those different things. He says, I don't want that. And that's what he's saying when he says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. And that's why he's begging God, open down mine eyes. Don't hide your commandments. I'm longing for this because I see what the world looks like. I see what the world act like. I see how those that are sitting there and that you have to rebuke them and that they look in their life. There's no happiness. There's no joy. You're having to deal with them in a harsh way. And he's like, I don't want that. He says, you've rebuked them. And pride is a horrible thing. It's a nasty thing. Pride is something I think is, if you draw it all the way back down, it can be pretty much the basis, the beginning of all sin, is when we're prideful and we rise up against God. The Bible talks about it, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Proverbs 21:4, a high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. And I think of people, I think about Pharaoh and the pride he had, and I think of the wretched character of many, many wicked people. The temper of their minds have made them mad, and they're so proud. They magnify themselves above other people, but they magnify themselves against God, and they want to challenge God. And I think about Pharaoh, and I think about other people who have challenged God. I think about Nebuchadnezzar. They're trying to be in competition with his will, and David's saying, boy, I don't want that. Now, when we talk about Pharaoh or we talk about Nebuchadnezzar, we think, oh, yeah, they were really bad. But we have to apply it to our own hearts, too. Is there something in my life I'm prideful towards? Is there something that God is rebuking and trying to get a hold of me about, and I am challenging him? Now, I know you would never say I am challenging, but when we say I know better than God, we're magnifying ourselves above God. We're challenging and in competitions about his will. Should I obey God or not? And that is not what David is saying. I see how you rebuke those that are cursed. I want nothing away from it. And then he says, verse 22, reproach, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. And he's saying, I see what you do to the proud and the prideful. I want nothing to do with that. Now, please remove the reproach. I have kept thy testimonies. He's saying, I've done what I believe you called me to do. Now, I want to be someone that's in your blessing and someone. I don't think he really cares if someone else is reproaching him, because you're going to see that in the next verse. I don't think he's really concerned about those that are naysayers and saying things about him, like Absalom going behind his back and saying, if I were the king, I would do this. I think he's saying to God, you remove that reproach from me. Remove that reproach from me. I don't want to have any part of that. I don't want anything to do with that. And then you see in the next verse, he says, because I've kept thy will. There is a right there that I think a person has to ask God to remove the reproach when they have done the will of God. He didn't want God to rebuke him. But we know that there are people who are going to, that God's, you know, sometimes when you live godly, people are going to suffer persecution. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the innocent saying to be cleared from the reproach. We allow God to fight our battles. And that's what he says in verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. I really like this verse, and God kind of spoke to my heart a little bit about it. A prince is supposed to be someone who's in authority, someone who's supposed to help the king, someone who's in leadership, someone who has the judgments. And the princes they're talking about there, they're saying they look at David, and I'm sure that David is someone that many times people envied. Sometimes people looked at. Saul was jealous of David, and other people, when he rose up into the kingdom and became the general and was the heartbeat of the whole nation, when they're chanting, you know, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his, you know, so many more, all those different things. And he's saying, look, the princes, they sit and they speak against me. And I think about the position they have, and that really annoys me, is when a person who has a position that is supposed to be a servant, that's supposed to be a help, someone who is supposed to be an authority, that is supposed to be able to be an encouragement. You know, people want to hear a good word from them. And people want to hear what wisdom is and counsel from a prince. But instead, they're gossiping. Instead, they're slandering. And I think about our politicians nowadays, today, and you listen to them, and you listen to so much garbage that comes out of their mouth, and you're thinking, that's an elected official. That's the person that's representing me. That's the person that has my best interests at heart. Boy, they're doing a lousy job. But then you sit there and you think, you bring it home to people at church. People that are in authority, people that have positions, people that should be helping and being a blessing and a counsel. And what they're doing is they're sitting. It means they're not doing anything, but they're watching. And what are they doing? They're slandering. They're gossiping. They're saying things that are not being helpful. They're not serving. They're not being a help here. And that's what David is saying. He says, these princes are there, and they're saying all these things about me, and they're running me through the muck, and they're slandering these things about me, and they're saying everything that's wrong with me. And what does he say he does? He gets up there and kills all of them, and kills the whole family, takes the whole army, takes their mighty men. No, what does he do? He says he meditates. He says, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. I have people over here that are supposed to be serving. And if David is king at this time, they're supposed to be helping David. And if David is general at this time, they're supposed to be somebody, I bet you, that's envious of David. But for the princes to be talking, and if it is David, David at this point in time has done something that is great and done something that's caught people's attention. And they're the people who are supposed to be serving, the people that are supposed to be helping, the people that should be the teachers are the ones that are causing the problems. And I think about the two things that are sitting here, and I think about the seat of power that's become the seat of the scornful. The person that there, the authority that's in God's given them that chance, that opportunity. They're nothing but scorners and slanders. And I see David over here, and he's meditating in God's word. That's hard to do when someone is doing that. It's so easy to get lost in your focus. And that's why David, I think, is saying, hide not your commandments. Open thou mine eyes. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live, that I may listen or follow, to keep thy word. He's saying, when all these other things are happening and no one is doing what they're supposed to be doing, and the people that are supposed to be my support and the people that are supposed to be my help and the people that are supposed to, they're doing nothing and they're actually trying to harm me. He says, what am I going to do? And he's saying, I'm over here and I'm reading and I'm meditating in the statutes. So does that work? Well, read some of the Psalms as he's being chased by Saul. Read some of the Psalms you hear as he's being chased by Absalom. Read some of the times when we hear about God being our refuge and our strength, and we get so much joy and comfort and peace from those things, and we're wondering, Where did that come from? Where are those wondrous things? How come I can't think like that? How come I can't write like that? And then sometimes we need to say, God, open thou mine eyes, I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law, so that way we can see the situations that we're going through and deal with the situations that we're going through. And it takes us and sends us right to our knees and says, there's nothing really good for me to think about. I need God. I need God's commandments. I need God's ways. And that's why he says he meditates in thy statutes. Verse 24 is our last verse for tonight. And it says, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. When others are speaking evil of him, God's testimonies make him his delight. There's something I've noticed about scorners over the years, and I've probably been a scorner myself more than once. They're never happy. They don't have the joy of the Lord. They're there, and they're scorning, and they're not accomplished. And so you know what they do? They have to get louder. They have to get more boisterous because they're trying to fill a need that the only God can fill that need. And then I see David over here, and he says, I can't find delight in those guys. They're not helping me. They're not what they're supposed to be. But there is something I can find delight in, God's word. So I see two different settings. I see the one over here that's the scorners that are missing the whole point why God gave them the opportunity, and they're there and they're causing David problems. And I see David happily and gladly just serving God and staying in his word and not worrying about anybody else. He's just saying, and thy law, and thy testimonies are also my delight. And he says, and my counselors. The princes are the guys that he should be able to go to and say, hey, can you help me with this? What do you think about this? What do you think I should do? But he says, no, they have failed me. He says, I need your laws. I need your testimonies. They're the ones that are my counselors. Is listening to God's word, but he's getting joy out of God's word. He is discovering the wisdom that God's word has had and how God has brought him back to light. Now, David was not perfect. We've seen David sin more than once. God calls him on it. God rebukes him on it. But how many times did David get falsely accused? And how many times was David on the run? And God continues to lift him back up. And he instead of focusing on getting free and vengeful, remember the guy that was throwing the rocks at David as he was fleeing from Absalom? And they said, hey, let's go ahead and, the mighty men are there. Let's go and kill him. He says, no, we're not going to shed blood. But what happens in the end? He dies. God brings him back, sets him back up to be king. So what are you getting at? When I read this passage of scripture in these eight verses, it gives me a desire to really want to listen to where God wants me to do. To get into his word and say, okay, God, don't hide your commandments like you turned about talking about verse number 19. Open mine eyes, God. I need to see these things, the wondrous things that are in your law. I know there's good things in there. I'm missing them. I'm not seeing them. And then say, you know what? I'm alive today because of God's grace and mercy, like we talked about in verse number 1. I'm his servant. So God, I'm willing to, if you're going to let me live, I'm going to keep your word. If you're going to be gracious enough to give me another day, merciful enough to let me live again, give me the air and the oxygen, I'm going to keep it because I want you to deal bountifully with me. Open my eyes. I'm a stranger in this world. My heart and my soul was longing and breaking for you. I see what you do to the wicked. I see the prideful. I see those princes that are scorners now. I'm just going to stay focused in your word. I'm going to focus on doing what's right. And then as I allowed that, the things that are going to make me happy, the things that are going to desire me, those things are my delight. Those are the things I'm going to listen to. That group over there, what delights them when someone else scorns with them? Like I talk about in Psalms chapter 1, the seat of the scorner. Come over here, sit with us. Help us scorn together. And that's what many times gossip do. That's help us start, trashing somebody else. But that's not what David says. What I find my delight in is the statutes. I made them my counselors. So as we go tonight, as we close tonight, think about a couple things. Who reads the Bible like that? The man after God's own heart. And these are things I think we should be looking for. We should be praying, open thou mine eyes. There is wondrous things in that book that many times we are missing because we don't think we're a stranger in this world. We think we got some things figured out. And yes, God leads us and God guides us, but do we really trust in him with all our heart? Don't lean into our own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what David's saying. Don't hide your commandments from me. I need you. I'm a stranger. I don't know how to do this. Help me. And I'm going to look in his word about how to do it. Let's pray.